experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's Passing Thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
All right, let's get to it.
I still want to know what that
word is. Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out later.
All right. Stay away from the clubhouse.
Stay away from the clubhouse. Let's start sort of, like I said, just to remind everyone, it's sort of just my thoughts as they go. Stream of consciousness,
yes.
As they go over the course of the day. My first one was Cam Akers is inactive, huh?
Yeah.
Cam
did you,
Akers
did you
is
see
inactive.
That before I texted you?
I saw it as you were texting me.
Very good.
And Figgy. It made me feel a little uneasy, I'm not going to lie. It worked out, of course. Damian Pierce had a couple of decent runs. What did he have, 3 carries, 19 yards, 16 yards, something like that?
Oh, gosh, let me pull it back up. I wasn't surprised, man.
Figgy was telling y'all.
Yeah. No, you were not surprised. I was. Made me feel a little bit uneasy. But, of course, we know how it worked out with Joe Mixon. But here's the passing thought.
All right, real quick. I just want to slide this in here. Damian Pierce, 3 attempts, 16 yards.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
With a 9-yard longest play, which was just right downhill, just rumbling, bumbling.
John McClain had a great observation, and you had the same observation, but during Texans radio this morning, he said the play calls for Damian Pierce were not zone read.
No.
They were like, get the ball, go that way. You know, so that was good.
They've recognized. They know what it is.
They know the story. Another passing thought, and this is, again, as the game is progressing, I'm writing these down. Shane Steichen clearly wanted to make a statement, and it backfired on him. They took the ball to start the game.
They did.
They won the toss and took the ball to open the game. And you know what that meant? And these were important points.
Opportunity to do the score and score like Belichick likes.
Well, that too, but and we'll get to that. But I think it meant, like, when they had 4th and 1 in the first quarter at midfield, even though he does sometimes go for it.
He's a little bit more analytically inclined.
Yeah, but he had no choice but to go for it there. If you take the ball and you're at midfield on 4th down, you have to go for it because you're trying to make a statement there. And it kind of backfired on him because the Texans then got the ball, went down the field and got a field goal. As well. So
that kind of reminded me, who was the quarterback? Was it Matt Hasselbeck that did that where he won the toss?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to score.
Yeah. Well, update.
Not quite. Close. The ball.
And then what you talked about, it also meant the Texans got the ball first to start the second half, and they went down for a field goal again to get an 8-point lead. So Shane Steichen tried to be bold and make a statement, totally backfired on him. Then there's this one.
Okay.
The Anthony Richardson experience is just wild.
Yeah, buddy.
It's just wild. Like, it's about as close to feast or famine as you can get in football. Like, this dude threw 65 yards in the air after slipping on his back foot, and you're like,
with his right tackle in his lap because Danielle Hunter was moving that man.
Yes. And you're like, holy. And then he misses 4 wide-open wide receivers, 2 for sure touchdowns, and you say the same word in a different context, holy. Like, this is what you get with Anthony Richardson.
That's right.
It's absolutely what you get.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I have talked about him as a dude that's going to get somebody fired, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because the high end of this is a problem.
It's a big problem.
Is a problem, right? We talked about that turf in Indy, right? Mm-hmm. It caught CJ Stroud quite a few times early in the game, which I mean, what a great amount of poise from him, but that's neither here nor here, there right now.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson got a little bit of that too, and still, right?
Yeah.
Just footwork be damned, right?
Yeah.
I got enough in this right arm to just send it up there. And that ends up being a problem. You also saw a little bit, but thankfully the Texans did a pretty good job of corralling this. When he started getting moving, it ended up being a problem. Like, when he saw some daylight, that dude can move. It's one of the things that we know.
I'm glad you said that.
Texas did a good job.
That touchdown he ran in, maybe 3 guys in the league can make. Like, he should have been tackled in front of the...
Did you feel bad for Petrie there?
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, wow, way to get there. Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. All right.
It doesn't matter. Like, so it's like feast or famine. He's the epitome of it. Dude went 9 for 19. He went 9. I mean, what do I always say about it?
An aggressively mid line.
Aggressively mid. Another passing thought, Figgy. You knew this was coming. I texted both you guys. Laremy Tunsil, midseason form. I mean, two.
It's funny. When that whistle blew, I'm like, please, I hope it ain't Lane Tulsa. It was. I'm like, dog it.
Yeah, it was. And then you mentioned the field in the last segment, and that's where this passing thought comes in. Colts field got a Brazilian wax. It was just like the one in Brazil.
Okay, I was like, where are we going here? Hold on. Like, why did a field take your brain to Brazilian wax? What's happening?
But yeah, it was awful. It was just awful. And they got to do something about it, right? I mean,
it looked clean, though.
It did.
It looked clean.
It didn't perform
clean. Slick, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if CJ's audio is in here, but I know CJ basically talked about the idea. It feels like it just probably needs to be broken in. And I do wonder if that actually is it. Well, I guess that is a space to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, not for the Texans. Texans done for the season over there.
Yeah.
So good luck with that, Colts. Yeah. But yeah, just that'll be a space to watch if that continues to be an issue, right? That mm-hmm. for them as they go along in the season, or if that's something that kind of over time with usage it wears in. And
I hope so, because it was really bad. Another passing thought here. Stroud's presence and his patience,
buddy,
and manipulating the pocket, it's better than last year, man.
Yes, absolutely.
It's already better. I mean, no question about it.
I mean, and evidenced in part by when he was slipping and sliding. Like,
mm-hmm.
And maybe this, again, might be a reach. I want to acknowledge that up front. It didn't feel like he was panicking in those moments.
No, early. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, the presence.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. It did not feel like he was panicking. There was, I mean, early on, pass blocking, it took a second to settle in. Early on, it looked like there was going to be a lot of pressure on this man, and just comfortable getting the ball out. Now, the precision came with time. It felt like the rust was a word that mm-hmm. was utilized, and I think was aptly so.
Yeah.
Because it did look a little rusty to start, but all through that time, there was not a level of anxiety. There was not a level of angst. Really cool, calm, collected when he was handling his business in the pocket.
Looked like a 10-year veteran out there. And I'm glad you mentioned that about early on.
We just all about segues here.
Yeah, baby. Man, we have a vibe going working here. So another one here. I've never seen the script flipped so drastically when it comes to line play. Because early on, I was like, this ain't great. Like, not only he has that great presence in the pocket, he's able to avoid some pressure and such, but he was kind of running for his life too on a lot of plays. And then all of a sudden the script flips and the Texans offensive line says, you know what, we're going to go ahead and do our little beast mode here and just start dominating. So the line, sort of the arc of how the line was performing was night and day.
Yeah, one of the things that I found interesting is I took a note in the first quarter. O-line is struggling right now. How much does the turf factor, or is it just the Colts D-line being a menace?
Right.
And I don't know what of those ended up being the case, because it definitely got to a place where they were actually really imparting their will. Another thing that I found interesting is I like getting into some of the stats that NFL has on their website. Not necessarily NFL website, but like the...
Yeah.
I guess NFL GSIS, if that makes any sense, or if you know what that is. And one of the things that I found incredibly interesting during this game, to the point where I sent it to the group chat for some of my friends. I don't know if this was at the end of the game, but at some point during the game, I was looking at like directions running the football,
mm-hmm.
and it shows up almost like a bar graph. Can you see which side of the offensive line is getting lot of Joe Mixon's running?
Yes, I can.
Joe Mixon had at the point in the game where I took this, and I need to just go back to the site and check it again. 17 attempts for 89 yards and a touchdown, wide left mm-hmm. behind Tunsil. Right, like we talk about Tunsil not necessarily being that run, lead blocker when it comes to running and that type of thing. And I know Kenyon Green over there, right? That probably helped a good amount. But running wide left, those guys were eating it up.
Yeah, they were absolutely eating it up. And we're going to get to Kenyon Green. But let's get to this other passing thought first. What the hell was that at the end of the first half?
Oh, buddy.
Man. I still don't fully understand, even after Jonathan Alexander did the pool report and spoke with the referees, and I read that. And I'm like, I still don't understand the clock, the ruling, the play call, no field goal, the bad way the Texans ended it, C.J. Stroud's explanation, D'Amico Ryan's explanation. I still don't get exactly what happened at the end of the first
half. Do you want to try and clean this up? Because I do know that, all right, there are some people, if you did not have an opportunity to watch, or if you don't recall, there was a, clock is running down. It's a 2-minute drill for the Texans. And, I mean, they took their time to start getting going on this 2-minute drill.
Yeah.
When they did, right, when they were trying to get down the field, there was a pass over the middle of the field to Dalton Schultz. He's tackled, and it looks like the ball does pop out.
It's I not thought it was, like it, right? To be honest.
And so it's like, was that a fumble? It was ruled a complete pass. They, you know, hustle up, and the Texans are trying to spike the football. Or actually, they're trying to go for a play, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to just line up and go. Before they can snap the football and do whatever, the play is stopped in order to go and review to see if that was indeed a completed pass, mm-hmm. right? During the point of time, sometime in there, right, Shane Steichen wants to call a timeout. And that added to the confusion of these things.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the play is upheld that it was a catch. And so 5 seconds remain, or actually for a moment there, they're like, put time back
15
on.
15 seconds.
There's 15 seconds, and the whole of Lucas Oil Stadium's like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Me on my couch, I'm like, why is 15 seconds on the clock again? So they come out, they do that. They're like, wait, hold up. We messed up. My bad. Yeah. He actually apologized to the, my bad. Put 5 seconds on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But the clock starts running when they put the ball down, not when the ball is snapped. And so the offense is on the field. They get the snap, but they don't have an opportunity to like really go and like make a play. And that ends the opportunity to get points at the end of the half.
Yes. And those were points that could have easily been very, very important. And even the play call, with even if you thought 15 seconds were on the clock and you that little out, you know, not on the sideline, like
what? Well, 15, I think 15.
Maybe you
make
could
a play,
think go back up right? or whatever, run out of bounds, all that stuff.
Five.
Yeah,
that should be the kickers, right? Like the kicking team should be on the field. Like, there's no way you get a playoff fast enough in 5 seconds where you guarantee yourself the field goal, right?
Yeah.
Throw into the sideline. Maybe you can get that done in 3-4 seconds. But are you guaranteeing that the away team's clock manager or whoever's running the clock is going to stop that with, you know, 1 second on the clock? I don't know, right? Yeah. And you don't take those chances. And so it was a very odd thing. And that I don't think that was the only decision that I had a little bit of kind of concern. Not concern, but it was kind of like confused about where, hey, D'Amico, what's happening in game management? But that was the big one.
Yeah. And another passing thought here. You mentioned this a second ago. Kenyon Green was a monster.
Yes.
He was a monster, dude. And I'm going to throw Juice Scruggs in there, too. You mentioned the left side of the line. That's Laremy Tunsil. Kudos to him. But Kenyon Green is the guy reaching for those tackles and reaching for the tackle, then getting another block on the second level. He was an absolute monster. Another passing thought here. Figgy, you know how I feel about this. I'm not anti, but just find someone who loves you the way Bobby Slowick loves end-arounds and reverses.
Shout out to Tank Dell getting his.
And that's the other thing I put down. I think this might be a new expanded role for Tank Dell, because he didn't do that. He probably had more end-arounds or that yesterday than he had all season last year. I would guess. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But he was that might be a new role.
It was usually Hutchinson.
Yes.
He was the one that getting the end-arounds.
It was usually Hutchinson.
Yeah. I think Tank Dell got two carries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do wonder if that's just, hey, There's a lot of mouths to feed, so we're going to find innovative ways of getting you the football. And, hey, you've got speed. Let's hand it to you that way. I think that's smart.
Two more for you here. You got to give him love. What a luxury Kyahmi Fairbairn is.
Yes.
350-yard field goals, dude.
Yes.
I mean, and nails. Like right down the middle, nails. Another one for you here. When the Texans faced fourth and goal with 5 minutes left, this is what I wrote down. Don't like it. Get the points. Then the next thing I wrote down, great job, Stephon.
I wrote down, Diggs, red zone menace. Love the play call. Rolling CJ with a one-on-one matchup. Yeah,
great job. Then the last thing I wrote down, I don't even know if I can say this on the radio, like as in basketballs. I wrote, holy balls, CJ, what a throw. What a catch for Nico Collins.
Yeah.
I think, and it's not an argument, I mean, it's just an opinion, I think CJ's throw was the better part of that play.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, he just placed it perfectly on a day where, you know, there was definitely some throws that he probably wants back, and you know, there was ways that he could elevate his game, and we anticipate he will elevate his game and play better. What he did,
yeah,
particularly on that play, but I think overall sufficient, and on that play, just beautiful. Wow, what you expect from CJ.
Chef's kiss.
Yes, bellissimo. There we go. Passing thoughts from the OG here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So much to talk about on a Victory Monday here for your Texans. I like that it got funky for my guy. He loves that funky
music.
I'm
a big fan.
Play that funky music, Figgy. All right, coming up next in the Loop, let's talk about what's popping, including the weekend that was for your Houston Astros. A great pitching performance and a lackluster one. We'll do that next.